Some really interesting comments were made about Hugh Freeze's offense for some guys that know a little bit about Hugh Freeze's offense.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up? We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five. Happy Wednesday. We are just a few days closer to Auburn versus Oklahoma, a really, really pivotal game on this season, and maybe even looking towards the future of the program based off of what you hear from the public. So we'll see what happens. But hey, there's some really interesting comments were made from a show that I actually really enjoy. I'm going to share a couple of clips with you. We're going to break it down. But before we get started, I want to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND. NEXTROUND for a double up bonus on your first deposit. Whatever you give them, they're going to give it back to you doubled. So give you $200. They're going to give you another $200 back on top of it to play with absolutely free just by using that code. All the college football lines you can imagine, first half, second half, live betting, tons of fun, NFL, literally any sport you can think of, they got a line for it. So check them out, mybookie.ag. All right, I want to set this up for you a little bit before I start. I got some clips that I want to share, and then we're going to break them down. But you have the McCready and Siski show. Okay, you have Neil McCready and Tyler Siski. Tyler Siski, I would say both of those guys are probably, Neil for sure, heavy Ole Miss guy. Tyler Siski, probably, if you had to ask him, was probably more of a Ole Miss guy as well. Neil McCready, former Mobile radio guy, radio sport personality, was kind of run out of Mobile. So you got to respect him for this. Was kind of run out of Mobile for always kind of giving Alabama the business, because he's always been really fair. So I've always been a big fan of his. Now he's pretty much, locked into the Ole Miss side of things. And then Tyler Siski. Tyler Siski was one of those general manager, player personnel type coaches that came up with Hugh Freeze, went to coach with Nick Saban for a while at Alabama, came back to Ole Miss, and I'm not really sure what he does now. He was a high school coach also at St. Paul's. He was actually a walk-on wide receiver at Auburn. So there's a little bit of connection to all of it, but they do a show. They talk a little bit about everything football. They know a lot about Hugh Freeze, obviously, especially with Siski being a coach, McCready being an Ole Miss guy, covering Ole Miss during Hugh Freeze's tenure. And they're talking a lot about the offense. They're talking a lot about the quarterbacks. And they said some things that really, I feel like, goes counterintuitive to a lot of the anti-Hugh narrative, the Hugh offense narrative that seems to be going on right now. And I think it's interesting to hear their perspective. And I'm going to play a couple of clips, and I'm going to try my best. There's a couple of language things. It's not anything crazy, but just bear with me. I'm not 100% on my editing skills yet, but here's the first clip, and then we're going to break it down after.
But here's the deal. And somebody brought this up today or yesterday on live, whenever it was, is this offense is not like people think, oh, it's too complex. You're doing too many things. It's not complex. It's not complex. Like, if it's third and one, okay, it's third and one, and we call an RPO, guess what we want you to do?
Run.
We want you to run the damn ball, not freaking pull it and throw a freaking pick. It's not hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't rocket science. If they're in Mel Kiper cover two, okay, that's what I'm going to start calling it. Mel Kiper cover two, and you got an RPO called, and you got inside leverage with your safety, and you got a glance route called by number two, and you got inside leverage with safety and inside leverage the backer, don't throw the glance. Hand the ball off. Like, this isn't hard. If you in that offense, I'm just being honest, in that offense, if you stay on schedule, okay, what staying on schedule is keep us out of negative plays. If we call an RPO on first and 10, the first quarter, and you got one-on-one, yeah, take the shot. Cool. But don't take – if it's third and two and they're impressed and we got duo call, don't throw the freaking 50-yard fade on third and two. Like –
So there you go. This is a guy that's been with Hugh Freeze with a lot that's seen how this offense operates, and it's not hard. Coming from his words, it's not a tough offense to learn. They're not asking too much of these guys, and I think that's something that even I've sort of lulled myself into at times. Is there too many options? Are there too many options? Is there too much going on at the line of scrimmage, and these guys just maybe aren't ready or can't process it all and make all the decisions? And it, I mean, this is coming from a guy who's worked with quarterbacks under Hugh Freeze's offense. It's not that hard. There's some rules that you have to know, but a lot of it's just common sense. I think that's why you see so much frustration with Hugh Freeze, is that, man, we go through this. If we do what we're supposed to do, it works. And this further solidifies a lot. He mentioned two plays in there, and I think the one where he talked about the don't throw the glance, I think, you know, he's sort of describing that very first interception. I think he's kind of describing that very first interception that Hank threw on Saturday. It's something that, you know, there was a run play on that. There was a run option on that play. There was maybe even another receiver open on that actual play that got tipped and intercepted. It's like, man, we're not asking, this isn't rocket science. You know, we're not asking you to go, write a five page dissertation with a bibliography and citations and all that good stuff. Like, we're just asking you to, you know, you got some common sense rules, and then you just execute like we've practiced, 1,000 different times. I think that's, you see the last thing he talked about, you know, when it's third and two, I go back to the very first game, or if it was the first, no, it was the Cal game. I go back to the Cal game, you know, fourth and two, and Peyton throws a fade. Fade throws the bomb, you know, to 30 to 40 yards to Cam, who did have one-on-one coverage, but you have two underneath routes, and you probably had a run check as well that you probably could have gone to that would have been much better, a much better option. Like, there's some of this is just common sense. Like, it's not – I mean, I'm with him. It's some of it seems like it's not that hard. Now, I know that's easy for me to say behind a microphone and behind a keyboard, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. And a lot of truth of that kind of goes to what he's going to talk about next, okay? And I would have – if there was a symptom – If this was a symptom of a larger problem that you can trace back to having issues over multiple teams, over multiple years, I would say, okay, look, okay, Q, look, listen, I get it. The execution thing, maybe you got a point there, but look, every other quarterback that's ever played for you has had similar issues. And that is simply just not the case in this scenario. Every quarterback that has played under Hugh Freeze has had a fair amount of success. Now, has there been interceptions? Absolutely. But when you're throwing it 40 times, 35, 40 times a game because you're executing this offense at a high level, sometimes that's going to happen. But you're not throwing four and five interceptions in a game. Maybe one a game or maybe two every so often. But when you're throwing, you know, three and four touchdowns on top of that, it's not that big of a deal. Those things can happen when you're putting in the air that much. But it's not something that's sort of like this malignant issue that's just sort of happens year over year over year. And I'm going to let Siski talk about, kind of give you an example of that.
I would normally – here's the thing where I'm having a tough time with, knowing what I know, where I'm having a tough time is – this isn't the first time a quarterback's ever played in that system.
No.
Okay. It's been happening for a while.
Been running that system for a bit.
This problem has never occurred. Okay. Ever. It's not a hard, like everybody's like, oh, it's too complicated. No, it's not. It is not complicated. It's really not. Like, if you've ever got a piece of paper and drawn up X's and O's, it's not complicated. It's really not. And so that's where I get frustrated. Is because the decision making, I'm like, God dang, let's go. Like, let's get to second and six and not getting second and 10. Let's don't take sacks. When we pull it, don't pull it when you got freaking hammers and blitzes. You're not going anywhere. Hand the damn ball off. Like, common sense. And that's, and look, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, Bo Wallace, and Bo will tell you, Bo's not the top 1,000th talented quarterback that's ever ran that system. But he's down. He understood it, and he ran the system, and he got us in the right play. Chad Kelly got him in the right play. Ryan Appling got him in the right play. We can go down the freaking chain, man. Everybody got him in the right play. It's not a difficult system to learn. And so that part there frustrates me. And then,
so there you go. And this is sort of my mindset. This has already been my mindset as well. If you could point to multiple quarterbacks struggling, this is, and I don't want to go bang on the pass, but you saw after, you know, maybe Nick Marshall, you saw a lot of quarterbacks at Auburn struggle with the same type things over and over again under Gus Malzahn. And there would be times where he would say a lot of the same things, execution. And he probably had a point. I can think of multiple times where there was receivers open and maybe the play call was correct and we couldn't, and we didn't execute it when we could have, and it could have been a big play. I can get that. I can see your side of it. But when every single quarterback for the last 5-6 years is sort of having the same type issues, then I got to ask a question. Okay, yes, you have a point, but is there an issue with? Are we losing something in translation here? Are we losing something here in translation? Are we losing something in the coaching aspect of it to help them understand how to execute those plays, or making sure that we're calling plays they can, I guess, execute? And again, and that's easier said than done, because then you shrink your playbook to nothing. And a lot of times I don't feel like you're asking, you know, you're not asking them to make NFL level quality 15 yard outs across the field, on the sideline. You're not asking them to throw some very difficult throws. It's just for whatever reason, they're not doing it. So if you say it's a lack of execution, the play calling is fine, but there's a history of quarterback struggling, then I got to ask some questions. Okay, maybe it's not so much the system as it is the coaching. Well, on this scenario, it's the complete opposite. Literally every quarterback that's ever played in this system, ever played in Hugh Freeze, carry it all the way through Liberty, has excelled at a extremely high level. Bo Wallace, I could get into his whole deal, and I got a theory on that, and I may save that for a whole nother show. But we're gonna just forget about what he said over the weekend, which is completely opposite of what he said a year ago. But Bo Wallace was physically not gifted whatsoever. Like, no, Chris Todd, Bo Wallace was Chris Todd with a little bit more personnel, a little bit more toughness, maybe a little bit tougher version of Chris Todd. Not athletically gifted at all. Lit it up at Ole Miss at times. Threw for over 3,000 yards at Ole Miss. Like, so he's even taken, and he took guys like Bo Wallace and excelled. And you look at the attributes of Peyton Thorne. You look at the attributes of Hank Brown. I think both of those guys are vastly more gifted than Bo Wallace. And this was he also played. Bo Wallace beat Alabama when Alabama was the toughest defense that stretch of defense they ever had. And then you go to Chad Kelly. He mentioned Chad Kelly. Chad Kelly did a lot of the same things. Get him in the right play. Chad Kelly threw for over 4,000 yards. You go to Liberty. You take Malik Willis, who couldn't even get on the field at Auburn, and he turns him into a first-round pick. Granted, they did play a little bit of lower caliber competition, but they also had a lower caliber roster. So there was a lot of there's just so much. I have so many questions, and I obviously never played quarterback, and I understand that it's a tough position and you're playing at a very high level and very tough competition. But when you hear Hugh say some of the things that he says, and then you listen to sources like this who really, they don't necessarily have any tie anymore to Hugh Freeze. I'm sure Tyler Siski loves Hugh Freeze. I'm sure that they've, you know, spent a lot of time together, but these guys, honestly, they're more Ole Miss than anything. Maybe even Alabama, maybe even Alabama more than anything. So, or more so than they would be Auburn, especially Tyler Siski having coached with Nick Saban. And you have guys like Aaron Murray and he's from Mobile, St. Paul, is a quarterback. I completely blanked that went to Alabama. But regardless, there's a lot of ties elsewhere other than Auburn. So this definitely is not a pro Auburn show. If I'm saying it, it means one thing. If they say it, it means a completely other thing. So it's something that I've kind of been talking about. I don't understand what the deal is. I don't understand what's going on right now, because every quarterback that's ever played under Hugh Freeze has had a very, very high level success, played beyond their abilities. And he's won some big games with quarterbacks that just aren't physically very talented, but could execute the system that you hear multiple people saying is not that hard. You hear people that know the coaching game that say it's easy decision making. And if you get them into the right play and you make those right decisions, the offense works just like it always has. And Auburn just seems to not be able to do that, whether it's, you know, the quarterback position, or maybe there's some kind of disconnect between coach and quarterback, who knows. But regardless, it's hard to pinpoint it on the coaches when it's worked everywhere else. It's hard to pinpoint it on the offense when it's worked literally everywhere else. So before we go to he also made a nod to the defense. And before we do that, I got to give a shout out to my boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Retirement results presented by Active Wealth Management. You need to get yourself checked out. You need to make sure that your savings is in order. You're doing everything you can, especially in today's world where everything's getting more expensive. Is that money that you've put away still enough to carry you to where you need to be? Ford Stokes can look over that for you. He'll do it for you absolutely free. That typically costs you in the neighborhood of $1,500+ just to have a portfolio analysis, and he'll do it for you at no cost to you. Go to retirementresults.com/plan and have that peace of mind. Have the peace of mind that you've done everything that you need to do for your family, for yourself, for retirement, and make sure that you're moving in the right direction. Make a friend at the same time. Tell him War Eagle. Tell him I sent you. That's Ford Stokes with Retirement Results presented by Active Wealth. Last clip. Again, I apologize for some of the language, but I think it says a lot as well about a lot of the comments that have been made on the defense. And I think we got a pretty daggum good. I think we got a good enough defense to win some games. And I think we have a really good defensive coordinator as well. Let's listen to what Siski had to say about the defense.
It's for all the media people. They're trying to take takes on defense. I'm going to repeat this one more time. They've had 5 turnovers in one game, had 5 turnovers in another game, and they gave up 24 points. And I don't want to hear shit about giving up plays on 3rd and long. You just tip your hat. Hey, DJ Durkin, thank you, dog. You kept them to 24 points after 5 turnovers. Thank you, dog. Hey, you kept them to 21 points. Thank you. I don't give a shit about I know you gave up that long play on 3rd down. Hey, dog. Hey.
Other teams make plays,
hey,
too.
Right. Tip of the cap, dog.
Yeah.
I mean, you hold them to 24 and 21 points, they're giving you a chance to win the game.
No, they're losing because of offense. And I think it's the reason that he's losing his mind a little bit is that.
Yeah, he's frustrated.
There you go. And I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. You know, people harp on the 3rd and longs, and they're bad. Like, there's some bad, I guess, discipline actions on 3rd and down with late hits and, you know, letting a guy get behind you and, oh, should they be rushing 3 or should they be bringing pressure? I get all that. And yeah, that is a discussion to be had. But against Cal, 5 turnovers, okay? 5 turnovers and against, 5 turnovers against Cal, 5 turnovers against Arkansas. And you honestly had a chance still to win the game because the defense kept giving you the ball back. They kept giving you the ball back over and over again, giving you opportunities to come back and take over this game. I mean, do the math there. 5 turnovers. So you had 5 offensive possessions where you had turnovers. If you just split those, and you only have 3 in one game and 2 in the other, you're probably 4-0. I mean, think about that. you could say, hey, we turned it over five times. I mean, we turned it over five times in two games. That sounds bad enough. 10 in two games, that's even worse. That's like exponentially worse. Oh, you got blown out in those two games. No, we lost by a combined score of about, I think it was, you know, less than 20 points. Wow. So what the heck happened? What the heck happened? You almost have played incredible defense. Yeah, they played really good defense both times. Sure, there was some again, you can pinpoint certain things and point to it and say, hey, there's you did this or when you should have done that. Sure, but overall, Auburn was in those games because of defense, not because of the offense. Offense played their way out of those games. So I'm fired up about the potential of DJ Durkin, and I'm fired up about what he's been able to do with what I think is a little bit of a limited secondary. Currently, I think there's some really good talent, and then there's some young talent that's going to be really good. And you're just having some, you know, adjustment issues. But he's been able to take some guys and make a lot of plays, make a lot of tackles for loss. They got to the quarterback. They frustrated that quarterback, made him play really, really poorly. The Arkansas quarterback played really, really poorly. And again, I think as long as you can somehow muster up some offense, I don't even want to say muster up some offense. If you can just stop turning the ball over, I feel like we're not that far away. I feel like Auburn's not that far away if you can just stop turning the dadgum ball over. Now, that's a ton easier said than done. And we'll see what happens against Oklahoma. But I thought this was a very interesting perspective from guys that know that offense, and they know Hugh Freeze, and they're not necessarily – Siskey may be a little bit more loyal to Hugh Freeze than McCready, but McCready, I think if you ask him, he probably doesn't like him very much. I think most Ole Miss folks probably don't – that they hold a little bit of a grudge by the way Hugh kind of got him in a bind at the end of his tenure, even though there was a really good run where he built him up and they had a lot of wins and good recruiting. But I bet you if you ask Neil McCready off air what he thought about Hugh Freeze, he probably wouldn't have a ton of glowing remarks. Siskey may be a little bit the opposite, but I like their perspective. I like the X's and O perspective, and I think it says a ton. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, I apologize for some of the language. If you want to join thebarnauburn.com, go just follow that website, thebarnauburn.com. It's $1 for your first month. You can jump in on the action. We got recruiting action. We got, we got some basketball scoops maybe coming out. It's pretty quick. I think there could be an announcement here soon in favor of Auburn. So we've kind of hinted at it on the barn. You can be a part of that, again, for only $1 for your first month. So check it out. Join the community. Join the conversation. And it's only $1 to get it started. So if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. And you know we're going to be back every single day. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.